Blog Talk Radio.
God's love for man. Nature and revelation alike testify of God's love. Our Father in heaven is the source of life, of wisdom, and of joy. Look at the wonderful and beautiful things of nature. Think of their marvelous adaptation to the needs and happiness, not only of man, but of all living creatures. The sunshine and the rain that gladden and refresh the earth, the hills and seas and plains, all speak to us of the Creator's love. It is God who supplies the daily needs of all His creatures. In the beautiful words of the psalmist, "The eyes of all wait upon Thee, and Thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest Thine hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing." Psalm 145, verses 15 and 16. God made man perfectly holy and happy, and the fair earth, as it came from the Creator's hand, bore no blight of decay or shadow of the curse. It is transgression of God's law, the law of love, that has brought woe and death. Yet, even amid the suffering that results from sin, God's love is revealed. It is written that God cursed the ground for man's sake, Genesis 3:17, the thorn and the thistle, the difficulties and trials that make his life one of toil and care, were appointed for his good as a part of the training needful in God's plan for his uplifting from the ruin and degradation that sin has wrought. The world, though fallen, is not all sorrow and misery. In nature itself are messages of hope and comfort. There are flowers upon the thistles, and the thorns are covered with roses. God is love is written upon every opening bud, upon every spire of springing grass. The lovely birds making the air vocal with their happy songs, the delicately tinted flowers in their perfection perfuming the air, the lofty trees of the forest with their rich foliage of living green, all testify to the tender, fatherly care of our God and to His desire to make His children happy. The Word of God reveals His character. He himself has declared his infinite love and pity. When Moses prayed, "Show me thy glory," the Lord answered, "I will make all my goodness pass before thee." Exodus chapter 33, verses 18 and 19. This is his glory. The Lord passed before Moses and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. Exodus chapter 34, verses 6 and 7. He is slow to anger, and of great kindness, because he delighteth in mercy. Jonah chapter 4, verse 2, Micah chapter 7, verse 18. God has bound our hearts to him by unnumbered tokens in heaven and in earth. Through the things of nature and the deepest and tenderest earthly ties that human hearts can know, he has sought to reveal himself to us. Yet these but imperfectly represent his love. Though all these evidences have been given, the enemy of good blinded the minds of men so that they looked upon God with fear. They thought of him as severe and unforgiving. Satan led men to conceive of God as a being whose chief attribute is stern justice, one who is a severe judge, a harsh, exacting creditor. He pictured the Creator as a being who is watching with jealous eye to discern the errors and mistakes of men, that he may visit judgments upon them. It was to remove this dark shadow by revealing to the world the infinite love of God that Jesus came to live among men. The Son of God came from heaven to make manifest the Father. No man hath seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. John chapter 1, verse 18. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will.
Good evening, my brothers and sisters. We can begin to start. Well, there's two or three in the name of our Father and our Savior. He will be in the midst of us, so let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come before thee, Father, just to thank you once again for this prayer line and the opportunity to come fellowship and worship you. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we can come together as brothers and sisters, loving one another, lifting up one another in prayer. Father, forgive us for my Father to do that which is right in you, Father. And Father, I pray for all my brothers and sisters that will join us on the prayer line tonight, that you will give us a blessing because we have joined together to worship in fellowship with you, Father. We thank you so much for this opportunity on this Sunday evening. So thank you, Father. We pray for your word on this prayer line. We asking you to bless your word. We asking you to send your Holy Spirit. We asking you to bless us tonight with the word of God, that it may quicken our heart to listen and to hear and be ready to be doers. Oh, Father, thank you. We thank you, Father, for this blessing privilege that we can come together. So we thank you and we ask in, Lord, to send your Holy Spirit amongst us tonight, that we will give you honor and glory. Thank you, Father. In the worthy name of our Savior Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. And brothers and sisters, I want to read from Steps to Christ. Just, I think it's probably about, it's a paragraph. It's not long, but let me begin to read it. And I'd like for you all to comment or just share what God has put in your heart. And it says, the price paid for our redemption, the infinite sacrifice of our Heavenly Father is giving his Son to die for us, should give us exalted conception of what we may become through Christ. As the inspired Apostle John beheld the height, the depth, the breadth of the Father's love towards the perishing race, he was filled with adoration and reverence, and failing to find a suitable language in which to express the greatness and tenderness of this love, he called upon the world to behold it. Behold, what manner of love the Father had bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. 1 John 3:1. What a value this placed upon us. Through the transgression, the sons of man become subject to Satan. Through faith in the atoning sacrifice of Christ, the sons of Adam may become the sons of God. By assuming human nature, Christ elevates humanity. Fallen men are placed where, through connection with Christ, they may indeed become worthy of the name sons of God. Such love is without a parallel. Children of the heavenly King, precious promise, theme for the most profound meditation, the matchless love of God for the world that did not love him. And I'm going to stop right there. And brothers and sisters, as I read this, you know, we can go over this thing over and over. But you know what, brothers and sisters, we still are sinners. We when we live every day and we wake up every day, we thank God for his goodness. We thank God for his love. But you know what, sisters and brothers, to live to God and just thank him, just as we do, and to thank him for what he's done for us, you know what, sisters and brothers, we can't do enough to show God love. You know, but he did everything to show us love. So I'm just so grateful to read this. And by God's grace, to ask the Lord to help strengthen my brothers and sisters and myself, to help us, to strengthen us, that we may walk in his ways. And that's all we can do, sisters and brothers, because God said that we are sinners saved by his grace. So what we can do is keep praying, keep talking to God, you know, because when I think about our children, you know, our children, they going through what we already have been through. And now that, and the Bible shows us that that's why he say train the children up the way they should go. So they have to go through their little time to find Christ. We went through our time to find Christ. So I just praise God as I read this, because you know what? I had to go through something to find Christ. So my brothers and sisters, our children are going to go through a little something to find Christ. And you know what? And I'm happy with that. I'm happy with that, because you know, if I had not gone through something, guess what? I probably would have been too high-minded to really get to know God. So I'm thanking him for allowing me to go through something and to get to know him. Praise God. Now I will open the line and you can share your testimony, and I hope I am understanding and speaking the right thing, because Sister Leola don't know nothing. It is the Christ that liveth in us. Help us. He said, what our infirmities. And I just want to thank him for that, brothers and sisters, because I need him. We need him. So let us open the line for our brothers and sisters, and you can begin to share. Amen. I want to thank you all for coming on Advent Light Ministry. I want to welcome you. I want to thank God for you. I want to praise him, because you know what? Without you, it can't be no prayer line. We need you to be able to press 1 and share. And amen, I will open the line. Then press 1, 518-7744. Your line is open. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sister, for opening the line. Brother Rick, Fort Ann, New York.
What?
Happy to say.
Were you able to hear me?
I am back home. Yes. Oh, yeah. I can hear everything.
Amen.
Yes, yes. You were right spot on there, sister, saying. Now you were mentioning the children have to go through the things parents have already gone through. Now that, thinking about it, I was out with my parents this weekend, and we got them moved into an area where their house is. It's a little ways away, but it's a very, very nice place. Neat and clean and warm. It was too warm for me. It was 75 degrees inside, and well, we're not used to being winter time. But it was very nice. They're getting set up there. It's a little hard because but Dad is doing really well. He's 86. He was helping me carry. He's amazing. Just praise the Lord for that. But as you were mentioning, children have through trials, difficulties, bring them. That's Mom and Dad's house burning, helping them. They were staying with us for a couple weeks here. Say we just took Friday. But they have wisdom. Even we don't do many things, but they've gone through even more. So the Lord says, honor parents. Days may be family. Give it. Give me. It's amazing. Sister, I am now
Brother Rick.
Yeah.
Brother Rick, can you hear me? Sister Tamika said she can't hear you, and I turned my phone all the way up, and I don't know.
One second here. Let me try this, sister.
Okay. I'm having a hard time hearing you, too.
Okay. Is that better?
Oh, yeah, that's better.
Okay. I'm sorry. I had my Bluetooth earpiece in, but I will take that out and I'll just use my speaker here. You know, God has given us parents and older folks, not just parents. God wants us to honor the older folks in our churches, in our communities, because they have seen things that even we haven't. I'm 61 years old now, and I thought I had seen quite a few things, but sister, when all this started happening with my parents, my wife and I we started praying, Lord, give us wisdom. We don't know what to do. We're at a place where we've never been before. You know, what do we do in these situations? My mother was in the hospital, and my dad was in a hotel room, and he couldn't stay there by himself. He was having a hard time, keeping it together. And, you know, God gave us wisdom as we asked. But then, you know, my dad and mom were up here with us. My dad went to work with me for a few days. I tried to get a little work in between. And my dad is the one who taught me the business that I'm in anyway. So he went to work with me, and he was giving me pointers on things that, I've done almost all my life, and he still knows way more than I do about it, you know, so it's just amazing. If we follow God's plan, if we honor our older folks, he's going to bless us not only with long life, he's going to bless us with the wisdom that they have gained that we haven't yet. And so, you know, I've taken a shortcut to this wisdom because I listened to my parents, you know. So God is telling us these things, and it is just amazing that if we do what he asked us to do, then all these blessings will come upon us, sister. And it's not always monetary blessings. A lot of it is not monetary, but that's okay. You know, well, we're not in this world to gain money, to gain riches. We're here to do God's work. And, by obeying him and honoring our parents, by obeying his commandments, we show the world that God's way is the best. And, you know, it's a witness for him. And as a testimony for him that, his way really works. So I'm just excited about that. And yesterday, my dad and I went to church out in Union Springs, which there's an academy there that I went to school and graduated from. My dad went to school there. My children went to school there. I have a granddaughter there now. So we've had four generations go through that school. My granddaughter will be graduating this spring. And we met a young man who spoke there that went to the seminary with Brother Akeem. And when he got done speaking, he mentioned Andrew, but he had just graduated a short time ago, so I went and talked to him. And he knows Brother Akeem well. And I was just excited because he reminded me so much of Brother Akeem, the way he talked and just, you know, his way of explaining scripture. So it's just amazing that, you know, this community of believers is very, it's small. You know, you go somewhere and you meet somebody and they know this person. And I was so excited to talk to him and, you know, get to know him a little bit. It's just amazing. God has believers and, you know, good people all around. And it's just, I was just thankful for all this. So I just wanted to have everybody pray for my mom and dad and pray for Ashley. I've not heard from Ashley in a while. We've been so busy with the immediate things that I haven't had time to contact her. So this week and tomorrow I'm going to try to contact her, see how she's doing. But please pray for us that God will give us wisdom and strength and peace, knowing that he is in control, sister, and he is in control. So.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Brother Rick. And I'm telling you, it is truly a blessing as we take care of the parents that have taught you all that you know. And now you take your father, you think that his memory is gone, but when you took him to work, he's showing you still what to do at his age.
Yeah.
You see, you see what God has done. It came right back to him to show you that easier way. And, you know, it's truly a blessing how our elderly, and that's what the Bible says. It tells us, elder, you teach the younger people. And as I was saying earlier, brothers and sisters, God's love towards us is so deep. We cannot understand it. And the thing is how he had Brother Rick to have his father with him, and Brother Rick didn't know his father was going to teach him some more things. And like you think their mind is gone, but let me tell you something, they're sharp. So I just thank God for that, Brother Rick. Yes, that he was able to show you some things. And you know what?
Yeah.
That could have, you know what? That helped the elder to bring him out there and to help him to think and help him to go back what he taught you.
Amen.
That helped him.
When my dad first came up here, he was shuffling when he walked, okay? He was walking very slowly, and he couldn't keep up with me. I had to slow down. I wasn't even walking half pace for him to keep up with me. And by the time he left here, sister, he was keeping up with me the whole time. So it did him a lot of good just knowing that he was still a useful part of society. You know, and it's just an honor to be able to do that, to, you know, let my dad know, reassure him that he is still useful, because he is, you know. I mean, it's just amazing. And like I say, if we do what God asks us to do, he will show us things that we never dreamed possible. So just remind the brothers and sisters, just be faithful, and God will show you things that you had no idea you would ever be able to know or learn, you know. And I think that's, my dad has been faithful all of his life, and God has honored him. So he is honoring me through my dad, you know, and it's just an amazing thing. So,
amen, amen. Thank you so much, Brother Rick. I'm going to get Sister Powell. She's on here. I will get her to offer a word of prayer. So, sisters and brothers, we ask and we want to thank you, first of all, and welcome you to Avon Light Ministry. And if it would not be for you coming to join us, sisters and brothers, wouldn't be a prayer line. So give God the praise. We thanking him for everyone that's here with us, and they got their hands up already. So we're going to continue. Brother Rick, we're so thankful that you came tonight and was able to give a testimony about your father, and now they're in their place. So we thank you, and we're going to ask the power to lift them up in prayer. Amen. And brothers and sisters, I'm going to ask Sister Power to lift them up in prayer, and we don't want it to go too long because they're our elders, and they are they're of age, and they need prayer. So I'm going to ask Sister Power to lift that up in prayer for me right quick. She's here. So good evening, brothers and sisters. Good evening, Sister Power. You went on.
Good evening, my dear beloved.
Did you hear everything?
Good evening. Yes. Everything. I came on a little late, but I am so thankful, grateful to hear from my dear beloved Elder Rick, and I know that God hear and answer prayer. We have been praying for Brother Rick and his mother and his father, and I think I heard the last part of it, that they move in their home. God is such a good God. So we're going to pray and give God thanks. And a Psalm
and he also asked for the lift up Sister Ashley. He wants you to lift up Ashley with it. Amen.
Okay. As Psalms 46, the presence of God is in calamity, right? Even though it was destruction, God have allowed Brother Rick, mother and father to be back home. And I know that God gave Brother Rick the strength because he had done a lot of work. I know that. So the Psalms 46, just verse 1 and 2, it said, God is our refuge and strength, a very precious help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Although the house was burned, we are here to give praise and to bring glory to God. Let us pray on behalf of Brother Rick. Father in heaven, we just come to thank you for the many blessings that you have poured out upon your children, especially Brother Rick, Lord, and Ashley, and the whole family, mother and father, Lord, and the siblings, Lord. We want to give you thanks. We want to praise you. We want to bring honor and glory to you. If it wasn't you, we would not know where Brother Rick and Mama and Dad would be. But because they trust you and depend upon you, Lord, they have been faithful to you, dear Lord, and you hear and you answer their cause. This moment, dear Lord, we ask you for your protection towards Mom and Dad, Lord. We ask you to keep them eyes closely firm, deep upon you, and to continue to praise and to bring honor to you. Now, as we lift up Brother Rick, Lord, we thank you for the help that you have given unto him, and allow him that he can come on this line once more, Lord, well below on this line, all the things that he have done, Lord. Jesus, we ask you to pour out your blessing, extra blessing, to give him health and strength so that he will continue to do your will. And we lift up Ashley to you, Lord. She's in your care. You know everything about her, dear Lord. So we present her to you. Bless her and also keep her and also the other children and the grandchildren. Lord Jesus, we leave them in your hands. Bless us, Lord, this day. Thank you for Sister Leola hosting tonight, and we are asking you to cover every one of us under your blood and also the speaker. In Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much, Mama Power, for coming on and always showing faithfulness to God on this prayer line. Amen. And brothers and sisters, I just want to share with you, don't you know, Brother Rick's mother house was on fire. I don't know if we ever said so yet, but his mother house was on fire. Now, Brother Rick's mother and his father was in the house. they had a stranger that was passing by. He saw the house on fire. So he went, knocked at the door. And when he knocked at the door, they came to the door. They said, your house is on fire. Come on out. And so she was able to get a person and you know, just get that and come out. He got them out the house. And most of the house burned, severe. The smoke damage was bad. But the point of it is the elderly was in the house and did not know it was on fire. You see, if that smoke would have trapped them and got enough in their lungs, that could have killed them. But you see how good God loves? You know, I was reading the book, Steps to Christ, the love. It's 1 John 3:1. What a value this place upon man. Through the transgression, the sons of man become the subject of Satan. Through faith, the atoning sacrifice of Christ, the sons of Adam may become the sons of God. By assuming human nature, Christ elevated humanity. Fallen men are placed where, through connection with Christ, they may indeed become worthy of the name sons of God. Such love is without a parallel. Children of the heavenly King, precious promise, theme for the most profound meditation. Brothers and sisters, the love of God is merciful. Now, we can't even assume, I can't find the right word to say, we can't even assume that love for God, what he has for us, because when he wakes us up every day, all we could say is thank you, Father, for waking us up. Thank you for keeping us, taking care of us. But you know what he said? to glorify him, to fear him, is just to keep his commandments and walk in his ways. So we are so blessed. We are so blessed this day that we are alive. We can see. We done been through another Sabbath day. Thank God for that. And it was a blessing, Brother Rick's parents, I think they're in the 80s, that someone passed by to see their house on fire and save them out of the fire. You know that was nothing but the goodness of God. So we just thank God for that. Thank you, Sister Powell, for the prayer. And they are covered by the blood of Jesus. So Brother Rick is very happy to still have his parents with him today, even though he's been through some tough times, because helping your elderly parents, he's helping his wife, he's helping his grandchildren, and he's helping his daughters, his children. So that was a lot of stress. So that's why I asked Sister Powell just to offer a prayer that God has got them through the toughest time. So may God be with them and take care of them. Amen. And now we're going to go get to our other brothers and sisters. So we thank you all for being patient. Amen. I just wanted to share that part with my brothers and sisters. And now we will open the line for the next caller. That is 272-770. We're opening your line. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for opening my line, Sister Leola. God bless you. This is Sister Tymeko from Pennsylvania, and I'm just so grateful to be here this evening with you and all of my precious brothers and sisters, and so glad to hear Sister Powell's voice and Brother Rick's voice. What a blessing. And I just wanted to share, we are reading the prayer book by Ellen G. White, and what he mentioned about wisdom and knowledge. It said here that we should reach up our hands for help. In your weakness, it says, lay hold of infinite strength. Ask for humility and wisdom and courage. Increase of faith that you may see the light of God's light and rejoice in his love. And this is taken from the Ministry of Healing in page 513. So we can learn so much from reading this book that we study on the Chat and Chew line on Sabbath. So I just wanted to share that with my precious brothers and sisters and give the Lord praise and honor and glory, because he's so worthy to be praised. I thank him for bringing me through another week, bringing me to and fro, with safe travel and mercies to all of my appointments. So I am so grateful the Lord takes good care of us. He never leaves us nor forsakes us, and he loves us all on this prayer line with an everlasting love. So I just have a scripture to share with you. It's taken from Psalms 100, verses 1 through 5. And it says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord is God, and it is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Praise the Lord. What a beautiful scripture, my sister.
Amen.
Amen. And I have a song to sing, if I have enough time.
No, we have other people.
Oh,
well,
okay, then I have to... Okay.
Well, we're going to open your line before we go into prayer. So, yeah, we got others to open the line. We got quite a few.
Okay.
Amen?
Yes, no problem. Amen. Please lift up my family in prayer and lift up the whole prayer line. I would like to lift up all my precious brothers and sisters on the prayer line. Thank you for opening my line, Sister Leola. Thank you, Sister Powell. We'll continue to pray for you and your family. Thank you. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Tamika, for sharing that with us, the love of God. And we know that he has bestowed upon us like as we say, it's the depth, his love is so deep. It's so wide. It's love is just so plentiful. And it just shows. It shows us today. And thank you so much for sharing that with us. So we're going to go and open the next line because we got about four or five others. Just give me just a second. Amen, amen. We're going to open the next line for 985-232. We're opening your line. Amen. 985, your line is open. Amen.
Good evening, sisters and brothers. This is Sister Brenda calling from Louisiana. I thank God for watching over us and waking us up today. I want to read a prayer. Jesus, I can be quite resistant to being impressed. Take away my doubt, my criticism, and my not being willing to really consider what you have done for me. Forgive my unbelief and my help. And forgive my unbelief and help me to follow you. Amen. Amen. I want to just thank the Lord for being so good and so kind to us and just thank him for everything he has done. And I want to just thank the Lord for Brother Rick's family that they made it through. And someone was able to help his family. God is good. He didn't leave his family, nor he helped him to get out. And someone noticed he was on time. And I just want to ask for prayer for the sick, the homeless, the ones in nursing home, all those confined it wherever they may be. Just ask for prayer for Sister Power Jamaica and Brother Rick and his family and all those just as needed. And just ask for prayer for Advent Light Prayer Line, all our mission members. And just ask for prayer for my family. And just think I just want to thank God for each and every one of us. And thanks for prayer for the speaker and all the ones, just each and every one. God bless. Amen. Brother John.
Amen.
Amen.
This is Brother John from Houma, Louisiana. Hope everyone's having a blessed time right now. And I just want to also give God the praise, too. He's been so good to all of us and helping us to be strong And I just want to say that the ones that go through ups and downs, just keep moving forward, and just stay strong. I pray that God give you the strength inside so you can conquer all the things you need and want to do that's positive in this world. And He'll have a place for you the day you leave this world. Because that is my destiny. The day I leave this world, I want to be with God and everyone else that's up there. So I know I have to keep doing what I have to do and what I need to do to make Him smile at me, or to make them, Jesus and His Son, to make them smile at us. So God bless. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Oh, I'm muted.
Yes.
Thank you, Brother John, for the comment. May God continue to be with each and every one of us, as you say. And He will. He's teaching us. He's that small, still voice and His word. His word tells us how to behave and how to walk in His ways. And if we continue in His ways, He definitely going to take us when He comes in the clouds of glory. We're going to meet Him, Brother John, by God's grace. Amen. So we're going to go to the next caller to make sure we get everyone. Amen. Give me just a second. We're going to open the next line. That is 857, and just be patient, my brothers and sisters. 857-505, we're opening your line. Amen.
Amen. Hello, Sister Miola. Hello, brothers and sisters. How are you today? My name is Brother Eli. I'm calling from Boston, Massachusetts. I'd like to thank God for His love, Sister Miola. And Sister Miola, I am so grateful, Sister Miola. I want to say hallelujah. I want to say hallelujah, Sister Miola. Praise the Lord. Oh, Sister Miola, I hear the voice of the Lord say to me, to pray for everyone on this prayer line at this moment. I feel like to pray to Sister Viola, for Sister Powell in Jamaica, and I'm praying for her grandchildren, and I'm praying for them that the Lord will make them share on this line one of these days. In the name of the Lord, in the name of Jesus, yes, Lord, God, Heavenly Father, Lord, God, we magnify Your name, God, this moment, God, we want to give You praise, Lord. We want to give You honor and praise, Lord. God, You deserve the praise, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. God, this moment, God, I want to lift up everyone to You, Lord. God, I want to lift up Sister Miola, God, who is hosting, Lord. We ask God to bless Sister Miola, Lord. We ask God to watch over Sister Miola, Lord. God, I want to thank You, God, for what You have done for Sister Miola, Lord. God, You are faithful, Lord. God, You are awesome. God, You're worthy to be praised, Lord. Come bless Sister Miola, Lord. God, we ask God to break every chain, God, for Sister Miola, Lord. God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, come bless Sister Miola's grandchildren, Lord. Watch over them, Lord. God, watch over Jarvis, God. Watch over Sister Nicole, Lord. Watch over them, Lord. We ask God to strengthen them, Lord. God, I want to lift up Sister Miola's husband, Lord. Bless Sister Miola's husband, Lord. God, I want to thank You, God, for what You have done for Sister Miola's husband, Lord. God, You're so faithful, Lord. God, You're awesome, God. You're worthy to be praised, Lord. We ask God to cover Sister Miola's window post, Lord. Cover her doorpost, God. God, we ask God to cover Sister Miola's house, Lord. God, You are able, God, to do all things, God. God, we want to lift our Sister Paula, God, who is with Sister Miola, Lord, at this moment, Lord. on this line, Lord. We ask God to strengthen Sister Power, Lord. We ask God to give her the power, Lord. Give her deliverance, Lord. God. We ask God to watch over her, Lord. God, we ask God to come protect her, Lord. God. Come bless her, God, in Jamaica, Lord. We ask God to watch over Jamaica, Lord. God. Why your Sister Power in Jamaica, Lord? We ask God to cover her window post, Lord. We ask God to cover her doorpost, God. God, you're able, God, to do all things, God. God, you're mighty, God. God, you're the King of Kings. God, you're the Lord of Lords. Come bless Sister Power, Lord. Cover her window post, Lord. God, come bless Sister Power's grandchildren, Lord. God, we want to thank you, God, for you have done for them, Lord. God, we want to thank you, God, for you have done for Sister Power's daughter, too, Lord. Sister Stephanie, Lord. We ask God to come bless Sister Stephanie, Lord. We ask God to come bless her, Lord. In the mark way, Lord. Watch over her, Lord. God, you're able, God, to do all things, God. God, you're mighty. God, you're the King of Kings. God, you're the Lord of Lords. There is no one else like you, Lord. God, we want to lift her Sister Tamiko, God, in a special way, Lord. We ask God to come bless Sister Tamiko, Lord. We ask God to cover Sister Tamiko, Lord, with your blood, Lord. Cover Sister Tamiko, Lord. God, we ask God to cover her window post, Lord. We ask God to cover her doorpost, Lord. God, you are able, God, to do all things, God. God, break every chain for Sister Tamiko, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus, we ask God to come bless Sister Tamiko's grandchildren, too, Lord. We ask God to come bless Brother Taiwan, Lord. We ask God to want to lift for Sister KTN to you, Lord. We ask God to break every chain for them, Lord. God, we want to thank you, God, for you have done for them, Lord. Allow them to praise you, Lord. Allow them to be a Seventh-day Adventist, Lord. God, you're able, God, to do all things, God. God, come bless Sister Tamiko's mother, God, Sister Dorothy, Lord. God, we ask God, allow Sister Dorothy, God, to do 7 days with you, Lord. Allow Sister Dorothy, God, to stay in fasting, Lord, to stay in prayer, Lord. Allow her to do 7 days with you, Lord, to pray, Lord, to call out your name, Lord, to shout your name, Lord, because, God, you're able, God, to do all things, God. God, break every chain for Sister Dorothy, Lord. We ask God to watch over Sister Dorothy, God. God, bless her, Lord. God, watch over her, Lord. God, we want to lift her Sister Daisy to you, Lord. God, we ask God to come bless Sister Daisy, Lord. We ask God to bring Sister Daisy back on this prayer line, Lord. God, we ask God to break every chain for Sister Daisy, God. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord. We ask God to break every chain for Sister Daisy, God. In the name of Jesus, Lord. We ask God to break every chain for her, Lord. God, we ask God to cover her window post, Lord. God, allow Sister Daisy to know that, God, we are praying for her, God, in the prayer line, Lord. Allow Sister Daisy to know, God, she has to come back on the prayer line, Lord. Allow her to hear your small voice, Lord. God, you're able, God, to do all things, God. Bless Sister Daisy, Lord. Watch over Sister Daisy, God. Cover her, Lord, with your blood, Lord. Cover her, God, with your right righteousness, Lord. God, we ask God, love Sister Daisy, God, to come on the prayer line, God, to share her testimony, Lord. God, at this moment, God, we miss her, Lord. We miss her on the prayer line, Lord. We ask God to come bless Sister Daisy, God, in the name of Jesus. We ask God to break every chain for her, Lord. Break every chain for Sister Daisy, God, in the name of Jesus, Lord. Break every chain for her, Lord. Break every chain for Sister Daisy, God, in the name of Jesus. We ask God to strengthen her, Lord. God, we want to lift her brother Brandon. We want to lift her Sister AJ, Alana, Lord. God, we want to lift them up to you, Lord. God, allow them to call your name, God. God, you're able, God, to do all things.
Amen.
God, bless us. God, bless us the power, Lord. Watch over the power, God. Watch over everyone, God. Bless us, God. God, in the mighty name of Jesus, bless us today. God, watch over her, Lord. God, in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Brother Eli, for the prayers for everyone. Oh, we love the brother. He lifts us up in prayer. So we just thank Brother Eli for all the prayers he lifts up. And now we, brothers and sisters, we need to go to the next caller. That is 423-635. We will open your line and
You can give us your name and where you're calling from. Amen.
Amen. Hi, good evening. This is Sister Carla calling from Virginia. I'm sorry, Tennessee. Sorry.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you now.
Okay, yes, Sister Carla, I'm calling from Tennessee. I'm just thanking the Lord. I'm at work, but I just want to call in and continue to encourage my brothers and sisters and, you know, let everyone know to be faithful. God is soon to come, and I want to share 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting at verse 17. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away before all things are become new. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. So we just need to be encouraged, know that the ministry of reconciliation has been given to each and every one of us. So we have to purpose in our heart to be reconciled to God through Jesus and to reconcile our friends and our family, neighbors and friends to God. Tell them about his soon coming. Share the love of Jesus. So, again, thank you, Sister Powell and Sister Leola. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen, Sister Leola. Can you check your phone? Amen, Sister Leola. Amen. Hello, Sister Leola. You are there on the line?
Okay. Anyone hear me? Sister Carla. Sister Tamika, can you hear me? Hello?
Brenda.
Oh, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness, my phone. I don't know what's wrong with it. Okay, then. Well, since I'm back, sorry about that, my brothers and sisters. My phone dropped. I thought it was Sister Carla dropped, but it was my phone dropped. And
it's calling.
Okay. Who's calling you?
Sister Flower had been calling.
Yes, I know. My phone wouldn't ring. So, okay, let me close your line and open Sister Carla back. Okay, sisters and brothers, I believe my phone is back. Sister Carla, your line is still open? Okay, she doesn't hear me. They can't hear me. My line is open. Hello, can you all can hear me? Let me see. Brother Rick, my phone is,
yep.
I don't know what's going on. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you, Sister.
Oh,
yes.
Okay, then. All right, then. Well, I'm sorry about the, I thought the caller line dropped, but when I realized it was my phone dropped and I couldn't get back in because my phone was having a problem, it kept saying the phone call failed, so I couldn't get in. But now that I'm back, praise God, let us offer a word of prayer because I just don't know what happened just a minute ago. My phone just would not, I couldn't dial back in. So let us offer a word of prayer. Amen. Our Father, which art in heaven, we come before you, Father. The phone line had dropped and we had no clue what happened. Lord Father, I thought it was just a caller line drop, but it was my line dropped and it continued to repeat, failed, the call failed. And I turned my phone off, I did everything, and it still was saying the same thing. So I tried to call on Brother Ray's phone, its call failed. So Lord, it's some kind of technology problem, but we know the enemy don't want us to be on the prayer line. So, Father, we pray and offer
a word of prayer to you, Father, to fix this and let us move forward so your word could be heard on this prayer line. Father, you have heard the prayers, the requests that has been made known. Father, Sister Power didn't get her chance to share. And Father, we lift her up to you, Lord, that if she come back on, she can share her testimony or her request, Father. And also, not only just Sister Power, Sister Carla was trying to share her testimony in the prayer. Father, you hear all the prayers. You know what is in your children's heart. So, Father, please allow them to be able to share before Brother Akeem come to speak the message for us. Now, Father, as we are lifting up prayers to you, Father, Sister Power offered the prayer for Brother Rick, and we just in agreement with that prayer, Father. You continue to be with him in blessing. And now, Father, we also lift up Sister Brenda and Brother John to you. Lord, they came on the prayer line praising you and thanking you for your goodness and your love that you bestow upon them each and every day, Father. And Brother John is praying, Father, that he will see you. And as long as he continue in your ways, Lord, Father, you said that you will allow him to see you and you will receive him. So, Heavenly Father, continue to bless him as he's out there witnessing, telling others about you. And, Father, we also lift up Sister Tamika and her children, Father, asking you to bless her family and keep them and strengthening her and keeping her, Father, as she continued to search the scriptures and the word as she has been doing. We thank you for my brothers and sisters that's on this prayer line. And we also lift up Sister Carla to you and her children. Father, may you bless her, especially her testimony, which she's about to share tonight, Lord, and to give you glory. I'm asking you for the blessing of her prayer request, her testimony. I'm asking you to continue to let her light shine and that she would show forth your goodness and your loving and kindness to all the people that she witnessed and not even with her business to share her business with, Father. And we also lift up Sister Katie. Sister Katie, as Brother Eli was praying for Sister Katie, and we pray for Sister Katie and her children, Lord. We lifting them up to you, Father. May you continually to be with her. And Sister Katie is a watchman. She always sending me these messages to be warning us, to send out to others, telling us to watch out for that next COVID, that sickness that's coming out and is talking about deadly. But as Sister Katie spoke, she said, many just want to make us fearful. But, Father, we don't need to play. We don't need to worry about with these things. But we just need to keep up our immune and not to be going around all kinds of people that carrying colds and all these different things. So, Father, be with your people. Give them wisdom. Give them knowledge, Father. And we lift up the prayer line to you, Father, and ask that you keep this prayer line and just show us and lead and guide us on this prayer line. Oh, Father, we thank you for your love and your mercy. And, Father, we also lift up Brother Eli to you. Brother Eli have prayed for each and every one of us, and we're asking you to bless he and his family, watching over them and keep them. We lift up Brother Akeem to you also, Father, all our brothers and sisters, whomever we may have forgotten, Brother Udy, Brother O'Neill, so many, Brother Richardson, Sister Richardson, Sister Nelda, all those that used to come on this prayer line, Sister Stephanie, Father, and her children, Sister Consonella, Lord, Father, so many, Sister Bonnery, oh, Father, all those requests, Lord, we ask that you search their heart to know them, and, Lord, help us and lead and guide us to your everlasting love and your precious promise. So we thank you, Father. Bless us on this prayer line. Keep us
Watch over us, Lord, as we are listening. Send your Holy Spirit that we may understand what you are telling us in this time we live in. And we thank you in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. And brothers and sisters, like I said again, my phone was having some kind of trouble, some technical problems, and I didn't know what was going on. But it seemed like it's better. Everyone can hear me. So I'm going to ask Sister Carla, can she hear me now? Sister Carla, I see you still on, and your line is open. You can unmute your phone if you still. Okay, but if, because we still have some time. We still have some time. Amen? And if there's anyone else would like to share, you can press 1, and your line can be open. And Brother Rick, I see I still have your line open. If you have anything else that you wanted to share, you may do so now if you like to. He doesn't have anything else. So, brothers and sisters, okay, Sister Carla is not there, and Sister Power has dropped. So she tried to call me, and she didn't get me. So now, okay, hold on, Sister Carla. Okay. So Sister Carla just moved up. So if there's no one else would like to share, I will just ask for others to just give a prayer, and I'm going to ask for Sister Tamika to go ahead and give us the song that she was going to sing. And Sister Carla, again, I know you wasn't finished with your testimony and your prayer request. If you can hear me, you can let me know or just open your line yourself and you can give share. Close Sister Carla line and I'm going to open Sister Tamiko. And Sister Tamiko, you may give us your song. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen, Sister Leola. I'm so grateful I can hear your voice now. Praise God. Amen. Okay, I have a song. I must tell Jesus. Amen. I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, He kindly will help me. He ever loves and cares for His own. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. I must tell Jesus all of my troubles. He is a kind and compassionate friend. If I but ask Him, He will deliver. Makes all my troubles quickly an end. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. Oh, how the world to evil allures us. Oh, how the heart is tempted to sin. I must tell Jesus, and He will help us over the world the victory to win. We must tell Jesus, we must tell Jesus, Jesus can help our burdens alone. We must tell Jesus, we must tell Jesus, Jesus can help us Jesus alone. Jesus can help us, Jesus alone.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, Sister Leola, for opening my line. And I'm so grateful that we have our precious Lord and Savior to help us whatever we are going through. Jesus is always there for us to help us. If we fall down, he picks us up. So I am so grateful that you opened up my line to sing that beautiful song to lift up all of our brothers and sisters on the prayer line, my dear sister. God bless you all, and I pray that you all stay safe and well. In the precious palm of Jesus' holy hands, I'm praying for each and every one of us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, my sister. And Jesus can help us. He's alone. The only one can help us. So by God's grace, we're going to continue to ask him and to lead and guide us and strengthen us because we know where our help comes from. Amen. So let me open the line for Sister Carla again. Amen. Let's see. 423-635, your line is open, Sister Carla. 423-635, your line is open. You would like to give us a prayer before Brother Akeem comes? May not. Okay, she's not available. Amen, amen. Sorry about that, sisters and brothers. So we're gonna have to ask see if Brother Rick is not available. And Sister Tamiko, you can offer a short prayer. You can offer a prayer, Sister Tamiko. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Leola, for opening my line. Sure, I will offer up a short word of prayer. Praise God.
Yes.
Amen.
Lift up Sister Katie. And Sister Katie, twin babies, and lift up my niece, yeah. My niece and my nephew. That is, oh my goodness, her name is, oh goodness, I can't believe I can't think of my niece's name. Oh goodness, yeah. I can't think of her name. But lift up my niece and my nephew's name. Yeah, lift them up, Brenda's grandchildren. Amen. Children.
I don't know their name. I'll just say Sister Brenda's grandchildren. Amen.
Yes, yes.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Okay.
Okay.
Amen.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious day. We thank you for this precious night, Lord, for bringing us all together as your children, dear Lord. I lift up on this prayer line this evening my precious brothers and sisters, dear Lord, that's on this event. Adventist prayer line, Lord Jesus, we thank you, Father God, for always being there for us. We thank you so much that you love each and every one of us with an everlasting love. We thank you so much, dear Lord, that you never leave us nor forsake us. And we thank you so much that you love us all with the apple of your eye. Heavenly Father, we are just so grateful to be alive and that we can all come together. Father God, we bless your great and holy name, and we glorify your great and holy name this evening. Dear Lord, I'm lifting up my precious sister, Cecilia, and her husband, Brother Ray. I lift up her children, Sister Nicole and Brother Jarvis. Continue to bless, guide, and keep them safe and well, dear Lord. Cover them under thy blood that no weapon formed against them will prosper. Be with them, Father God. And we are also lifting up Sister Katie and her twin babies, dear Lord. You know what they stand in need of, Father God. We ask that you be with them, strengthen, guide, and keep and protect them. Father God, we lift up Sister Brenda and Brother John and their children and their grandchildren. Continue to be with them and strengthen them, Father God. Draw them closer to you in these last days. As we know, the enemy has come to kill, steal, and destroy, but God has come to give us life and give it more abundantly. So we are thankful, Father God, that you are always with us. We thank you that you're standing with us, dear Lord, no matter what we are going through. Dear Lord, you are just a prayer away.
May we continue to pray without ceasing and ask for your help, because without you we could do nothing, Lord. As you are the vine and we are the branches, you are the potter and we are the clay. I lift up all my precious brothers and sisters on this prayer line this evening. I lift up Brother Eli and his mom, Rose, and all of his friends at the DACO program. I lift up Sister Carla. She is at work right now. Continue to bless Sister Carla and bless her children, Nicholas and Amanda. Continue to strengthen them, Father God. Keep them covered under thy blood, dear Lord, that no harm or hurt will come nigh them. Protect them, Father God. We ask that you give them a double portion of the Holy Spirit. Continue to be with them, Father God, and strengthen Sister Carla as she is at work tonight, dear Lord, and walk with her and talk with her along life now ways. Father God, we lift up all of our precious brothers and sisters. We lift up Brother Akeem James, dear Lord, as he will be giving his sermon for tonight, dear Lord. We ask that you be with him and strengthen him. Lord, give him wisdom, knowledge, and understanding and discernment. Let the Holy Spirit always be his teacher and his guide, Father. Continue to keep him safe and well and hold him close in the precious palm of your holy hands, Lord. We ask that you be with him at all times, Father God, and continue to strengthen and sustain him and his family and all of his loved ones. Bless God and keep them all safe and well. Father God, we are so grateful to be on this prayer line this evening, and we thank you for everything you do and say for each and every one of us. We thank you for everything, Father God. You have been there the whole time with us, Father God, as you died for us while we were yet still sinners, Father God. We are just so grateful. So we love you, Lord, dear Lord, and we are also asking for everyone on this prayer line, dear Lord. I stand in the gap for all my brothers and sisters. Please create in us a clean heart, O God, and renew within us a right spirit. And do not cast us away from your presence, Lord. And do not take your Holy Spirit away from us, but restore to us the joy of your salvation and uphold us by your generous spirit. So continue to bless God and keep us all safe and well. We also lift up Sister Powell, as she was on the line before. Her line has dropped. So continue to bless Sister Powell. Bless her ministry. Bless all of her precious Jews in Jamaica, Father God. Bless her children, her grandchildren, her great-grandchildren. Bless Alex Nation and the Williams family, Lord. Continue to bless Sister Rosie and her project, dear Lord, to help them to build this home for them so that they will have a place to stay and lie their heads, Father. We thank you for everything you have done for all of us, Lord. We can never stop thanking you because you're an awesome God. You are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You are the great I Am. You are Jehovah Jireh, our provider. You are Jehovah Rapha, our healer. You are the Prince of Peace, and you deserve all praise and honor and glory goes to you. So we thank you for everything you've done for us tonight, and we leave now, Father God, in your precious care and keeping, with praise and thanksgiving on our lips. In the precious and matchless and mighty name of King Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we pray always with praise, dear Lord. And we thank you for hearing and answering our prayers. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen and amen.
Amen, amen. And thank you, my sister Tanico, for lifting up those prayers for us. And may God be with us, brothers and sisters, on this evening. Brother Akeem is here with us. Now, so we will open his line and he will bring us the word. So, Brother Akeem, your line is open. May God bless. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Glad to be on this evening. And as we begin this study of God's word, I pray that our minds and our hearts will be blessed and strengthened. And that we will see that God's word is truly inspired. So let's pray and we'll head on in. Father in heaven, bless our minds and our hearts and strengthen us to follow you with every fiber of our being. Help us to know that it is you who works within us to will and to do of your good pleasure. Strengthen us, Father, and use us. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. All right, friends. So we are going to study a very powerful subject that I've been studying since last week Sunday to be more exact. And so if you would turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Luke, Luke chapter 7. And the title of this message is Renewed Seven Times. So Luke chapter 7, and we're going to be looking at verses 36. Now,
One of the powerful things about Scripture is that the one of the ways that its inspiration is revealed is through its connection. The fact that one story can be linked with another, the fact that though it was written by many different people, all of what they say is connected in some way, shape, or form, revealing that the author of the Scriptures are not holy men, but holy men were moved by God. The Holy Spirit is the one who worked through these men, feeble as they were, to be instrumentalities to communicate to men in their time and also in our time the word of truth. And so if you're there in Luke chapter 7, we're going to look at verse 36. So we're going to compare this one story, but what we're doing is taking this one story and comparing it throughout the Gospels. This one story is found in every one of the Gospels, friends, Luke, Mark, John, and Matthew. But we're going to start off in the book of Luke. So Luke chapter 7, verses 36 onwards states, "And one of the Pharisees desired Jesus, that he would eat with them. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. Behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet, Jesus' feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears and did wipe them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself," meaning that he spoke within his mind. So he had not uttered a word, but he spoke within himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that touches him, for she is a sinner." Now, friends, it's powerful because one of the ways that we're going to understand what we're going to look at here, many people who look at the Scriptures, they're thinking it's so disconnected, and they don't realize when they read a story, the story, if they read it from the perspective of Luke, and then they read it from the perspective of Mark, it seems that, yes, they're talking about the same story, but they have different understandings of it or different perspectives of it. And many people look at that and they say, wow, you see, the Bible is not congruent. The Bible is not in harmony. And that proves that, man, it contradicts itself. But what they do not realize is that the word of God comes to us as a parable. And only those who are truly willing to understand can truly understand. For example, if we look at society today, let's say there was an accident. And in the accident, one of the things that happened was there was a man who was driving down the road. And as he drove down the road, he was driving a pickup truck. And as a result of whatever he was doing in his pickup truck, his eyes were distracted from the road. He continued to drive until he rammed into the very car in front of him at full speed. And that car, it caused a domino effect because that car that he ran into hit the car in front of it, which hit the car in front of that car. And it happened four cars down that there was wreckage as a result of this pickup truck driver not looking where he should have been looking. And sadly, by the way, this has happened. Many people lost their lives in that accident. The situation was that the driver was actually looking on his phone, doing things on his phone, and so he was completely distracted from looking on the road. And so many people lost their lives. Now, in looking at that, there were three people who looked at it. And those three people were looking at it from different cars. So one person was in one car on the left. Another person was in another car on the right of the accident. Another person was from on the right as well, but a little further back. And so they saw all three of these people, one person to each car, saw the accident. And what happened was they all wanted, because of how sad the situation was, and how they wanted to bring truth to the story, they came forward as witnesses, and they gave an account of that which they saw. Now, friends, as they gave that account, we know that even though they may have given different perspectives, it is not that one perspective is less valuable than the other. If they were all seeking to be fair to the account of what they saw. But why then after all three of them give their accounts, the question is, what does the person collecting the accounts do? Does he choose one over the other? No, we understand that that person takes all of the accounts together because it brings different perspectives, truthful perspectives to the same story. There were parts that one driver may have missed that another driver saw, and parts that the other driver saw that the third driver may have seen. And so all of these accounts brought together brings the wholeness of the story. And so it is with Scripture. As we read it in one account, there may be differing details, but the main story is there. Hence, God brings all of it together in order for us to get a fuller picture of the same story. Friends, that's what we're going to see today. What we've seen so far is that Jesus is gathered at the house of a Pharisee to eat with him, and many others were there. But not only that, we see that a woman came in who was viewed from a negative perspective. She was viewed as a sinner. And not only that, friends, but she brought an alabaster box and anointed Jesus with it, took the ointment from that box and anointed Jesus' feet with the ointment in that box. And so this is one part of the story. Now, in order for us to get a fuller picture of it, Jesus also gives a parable next about how to view the sinner. Friends, it's powerful, but we're going to come back to that later. Let's now go and look at the story from the perspective of the book of Mark, specifically chapter 14, verses 3-8. Mark chapter 14, verses 3-8. And friends, this is so powerful. Mark chapter 14, verses 3-8, the same story. And I'm going to read it from verse 1, just so we see this reality. Mark chapter 14, verses 1, and we're going to go down to verse 8. It says, "And after 2 days of unleavened bread, the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. And they said, not on the feast day, lest there should be an uproar of the people." And now here's where we find out where the Pharisee's house is that Jesus met at. We find out one, it says in verse 3, "And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper." So we see who this Pharisee was. This Pharisee's name is Simon. He lives in Bethany. And not only does he live in Bethany, but friends, he was once a leper. But friends, we know what happens to a leper according to Old Testament law. They're unclean and they must separate from the rest of the people. So in order for Simon now, the Pharisee, Simon, to now be in his house with his family having this feast at which Jesus is, where Jesus finds himself, friends, it has to mean that Jesus healed him. So Jesus restored this man's life, saved him from leprosy, and now it kind of makes sense why he's having this feast, right? So it continues by saying, "And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard." Now we find out a little bit more about this alabaster box filled with this ointment. It says it was very precious, the word there meaning very costly. "And she broke the box and poured it on his head." So we know we're reading the same story. "And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her." I wonder, now you see where it says here in verse 4, there were some that had indignation because of what this woman did, right? But as we continue the study of the story, we're going to find out who instigated this anger, that it spread among some within the crowd. It says, verse 5, "For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor, and they murmured against her." Then verse 6 says, "And Jesus said, letter alone. And friends, you know what's so powerful about that? It says, letter alone, why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For you have the poor with you always, and whenever you will, you may do them good. But me you have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand, meaning beforehand, to anoint my body to the burying. And friends, even as we talk about this story, we are fulfilling Bible prophecy. Do you know that? Because it tells us in verse 9, verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she had done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. And friends, that's what we're doing. We're talking about this story, right? So as we're looking at this, friends, we're realizing something very powerful. One is that it's powerful because God defends the sinner. Verse in Mark, in Luke chapter 7, it says the Pharisee, which we find out now is Simon, said within his mind, never said it out loud, but said it within his mind, if Jesus were a prophet, he would have known that this woman was a sinner. So in other words, this woman had a reputation of some kind. And when you look at that word in the Greek, you find out it was some kind of vice that she had practiced. And we're going to find out it's even more. That vice opened the portals for other things. But as we're looking at it here, we're realizing, whoa, so she was a sinner according to Luke. But according to the book of Mark chapter 14, Jesus defends this woman. He says, leave her alone. That's found in verse 6. And many may look at that and say, Kimo, well, how dare you say God defends the sinner? God doesn't defend sin. It's true. He doesn't defend sin. But remember, friends, think about the past 7 days. Think about the past 7 days of your own life. And if we think about the past 7 days of our own life, we will recognize that many of us have sinned like we breathe. Many of us have committed sins we know not of. And friends, yet we are still preserved by the Lord. Yet we are still kept by him. Not to stay in sin, but because he's taking us through a journey which will ultimately, if we allow him, to bring us away from sin. And this is what we must realize with many people that we come in contact with. Oh, that we may remember God's mercy towards us. Then we would be more merciful towards others, recognizing that just like we are on a journey to victory, some of us, we have gained victory over certain things in our lives, but there are other things that God is still working with us on. And if we would remember that, then we would remember that God is with everyone on a journey. He is taking everyone on a journey. Some are farther along than others. Some have rejected the work of reforming their characters in this journey. But God is still working on people. And in this situation, the very fact that she came, this woman came to Jesus, means that, and anointed him for his burial, means that she is one who is seeking to follow him. She loves him. And so especially, friends, as we work with one another, may we ever remember to be merciful. For as the spirit of prophecy tells us, while God hates sin, he loves the sinner. He loves the sinner. Many are getting tired of that phrase. Some still see the value in that phrase. But oh, my friends, it is true. God hates sin, but he loves the one that sin is attached to. Hence, there is mercy along with justice. Not just justice, but there is mercy. Hence, many of us have not received what we deserve for our own sins. Friends, oh, that we may be merciful to others. So the story continues, and it says here, so we find out in this part, who is this Pharisee? His name is Simon. What was he? He was a leper. But in order for him to be having a feast at his home, he must have been healed by Christ. And where is his house? In Bethany. All right? So, and then we also found out that it's not just that there was one who was instigating a wrong attitude that caused some to say, man, there may have been a better purpose for this ointment that was used. It could have been used to get money to help the poor. We find out there was that, and we also find out that Simon the Pharisee, whose house they were at in Bethany, also was thinking in his mind, if Jesus was really a prophet, he would have known that this woman were a sinner. So that's what we found out so far. But let's keep going. And this is where we now go to John. At this moment, we now go to John. John chapter 12. Friends, this is going to be powerful. John chapter 12. As we see, as we're going from scripture to scripture, as we're looking at the full scope and perspective of the story, we're getting more information. So it states here in John chapter 12, starting from verse 1, the same story. Now we're going to find out a little more detail. John chapter 12 and verse 1, it says, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was. So Lazarus was in Bethany. Lazarus, which was dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made, meaning there, not at Lazarus' house, but there in Bethany, where Lazarus was, they made him a supper. And friends, we know whose house this was at. This was at Simon's house in Bethany, where Lazarus also was. But now as we read in verse 2, it says, there they made him a supper, and Martha served at that supper. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him, meaning with Jesus. And now here's where we find out who the woman was. Who was the woman that came and brought the ointment? Verse 3. Then took Mary. Friends, that's Mary. You want to know who this great sinner was? That's Mary, who was the very sister of Lazarus and Martha. Do you think I'm lying? Check that out in Desire of Ages chapter 61, and you're going to find it out. This is not, I'm not making this up. This is Mary, the very sister of Lazarus and Martha. It says, then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, as we saw earlier, and anointed his feet, the feet of Jesus. And we read in Matthew, in Luke it was the feet. In John, we're seeing now it's the feet. But in Mark and Matthew, you'll see, as we just read, in Mark and Matthew, we're going to find out it's also the head. It says, then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Now, here it is, friends. This is one of the best-kept secrets, the best-kept obvious secrets of the New Testament. I didn't even find this out until last week. But look at what it says. It says, then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, whose son? Simon's son. Wow, which should betray him? Now we just found out who Judas was. Judas was the son of the very owner of the house where they were having the feast. He was the son of Simon the Pharisee. Simon the Pharisee is Judas's dad. That's what we're seeing here according to the text. I never knew that. But now we're seeing it according to verse 4. Then said one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who should betray him. Now, what did Judas say? Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Now we see who instigated the idea that caused some to have indignation, as we read in Mark. It was Judas who incited this anger. This he said, verse 6, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bear what was put therein. Whoa. Then said Jesus, what? Let her alone. Against the day of my burying, she had kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. Do you see it, friends? So this is powerful. Much of the Jews, therefore, knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. So we're seeing now more of the story. Whoa. It's not just that Simon the Pharisee, who was once a leper, is having a feast for Jesus in his house at Bethany, but the woman who came was none other than Mary, the very sister of Lazarus and Martha. She was there. But apparently, she was the only one out of the three siblings that went south. She went off. Apparently, something happened in her life that led her that she allowed to lead her astray. But for some reason, Christ had touched her life, and we're going to find out how he did. We're going to come back to that. But now go to your Bibles in Matthew 26. Matthew chapter 26, and we're going to verses 6 through 9. Same story. It gives us a little more insight. It says, now when Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of precious ointment and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? The ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. And some scholars estimate the reason why Matthew and Luke actually do not say her name is because those gospels were written earlier. When John wrote his gospel, by the time John wrote his gospel, Mary was probably already dead. So he included her name. His gospel came along a lot later on, probably after Mary had passed. And so as we're looking at this, friends, wow, we're getting the full scope. So what have we seen so far? We've seen, according to the book of Luke, what was the picture that was given? A meal at the house of a Pharisee and the appearance of a sinful woman who anointed Jesus. According to Mark, what do we find out about this Pharisee? The Pharisee's name is Simon, and the story happens just before the betrayal and death of Jesus, as we read in the book of Mark. In the book of John, it tells us that the Pharisee's name is Simon, and his son is Judas Iscariot, and the woman is Mary, the very sister of Lazarus and Martha. And then in Matthew, we find that Simon was once a leper, which means he was healed by Christ and restored to connection with his people. So now I want us to see this, friends. This is really deep because it is interesting to note that Luke is the only one of the synoptic gospels. Synoptic meaning those synoptic gospels are the gospels of Luke, John, and Luke, Matthew, Luke, and John. Those are the synoptic gospels. So it is interesting to note that Luke is the only one of the synoptic gospels that, while not in chronological order, so Luke doesn't go in order. He just focuses on the details of whatever story he writes about, but it's not necessarily in order. Notice the story is placed at the beginning in the story of Luke. But in the other stories, it's placed more so towards the end because they understood that chronologically, it came just before the betrayal of Jesus. Actually, this act of mercy in defending the sinner, Mary, instigated Judas to actually go and betray him, because Christ rebuked Judas to his face for actually coming against this woman in this act of mercy. And so the story actually tells us, and actually you can read it in the book of Matthew, I believe. Right after the story in the book of Matthew, it says in Matthew chapter 26, verse 14, then one of the disciples called Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, went unto the chief priest and said unto them, what will you give me that I will deliver him unto you? And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver, and from that time he sought opportunity to betray him. So it was this act of mercy. Friends, I tell you the truth. It is an act of mercy as we minister to others, as we defend and protect others who are seeking to overcome, not in lies, but in understanding that, friends, yes, while, and I'm not saying that we don't take proper measures when people are in danger from other people, from people that are on such a level of toxicity that it can damage another person physically or psychologically. Of course, we need to take steps to protect others. We should protect the poor. But friends, this woman was poor in spirit. And Christ understood that the very people that were condemning her, Judas was a thief. And not only that, his own father, if you read in Desire of the Ages chapter 61, his father, Judas Iscariot's father, Simon the leper, the very Pharisee at whose house they were having the feast, was the one responsible for originally leading Mary, the sister of Lazarus and Martha, into sin. Friends, this story is intense. So he knew that everyone there had a problem. And so, friends, in light of that, Jesus evened the field by protecting this woman. Friends, I tell you, it is by these acts that friends that will bring the very church of God into trouble in these last days. Not defending sin, but seeking to save the sinner from sin. It is interesting to note that Luke is the only one of the synoptic gospels that, while not in chronological order, writes about Mary of Bethany and Mary Magdalene back to back. When one reads the powerful book, as we're going to read now, Desire of the Ages, it becomes clear why Luke does this. So you go back to the story of Luke, go back to the story in the book of Luke. So we're going back to the book of Luke chapter 7, and we're going to see it now. Luke chapter 7, and we're going to look now. So Luke chapter 7, verses 36 through 50 is the story that we've been looking at, but not with the woman who was a sinner, who we found out was Mary, the sister of Lazarus and Martha. But then look at what Luke writes about in chapter 8. It says, "And it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, Jesus preaching and shewing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him, and certain women," now listen to this, "which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others which ministered unto him of their substance." So it means that these women were women of means, including Mary Magdalene. But now I want you to notice, Mary Magdalene was the one out of whom 7 devils were cast. But when you read Desire of Ages, it shows that Mary Magdalene and Mary of Bethany, the sister of Lazarus and Martha, who showed up at the Pharisee Simon's house, are the same person. I'm going to read it to you here, all right? Now check this out. So Jesus gives a parable giving the comparison between 2 people who owed debts to a debtor. And he said, one owed a lot, one owed a little. Who would love the master more when forgiven? And Simon responded by saying, the one who owed more. Now, Jesus says this. Now, Desire of Ages just says this about the story. Simon's coldness and neglect towards the Savior showed how little he appreciated the mercy he received. What was the mercy he received, friends? He was healed from leprosy. He has thought he honored Jesus by inviting him to his house. And that's why I was wondering. I was like, why would Jesus reprimand this man and say to him, since I've entered your house, you have not kissed my feet? You can actually read the story. Jesus tells him that. And I was like, Jesus invited him. The Pharisee Simon invited Jesus to his house. I mean, that's a great honor. But friends, once you find out the motives of Simon the Pharisee in inviting Jesus, you realize why Jesus rebuked him. It says, Simon's coldness and neglect towards the Savior showed how little he appreciated the mercy he had received. How do we know this? Look at why he brought Jesus to his house. He has thought he honored Jesus by inviting him to his house. But he now saw himself as he really was. Do you see that? While he thought himself reading his guest had been reading him. Do you see that? So he thought, as a Pharisee, I'm bringing you to my house. And Jesus flipped it once the situation happened. He saw how true Christ's judgment of him was. His religion had been a robe of Pharisaism, speaking of Simon. He had despised the compassion of Jesus. He had not recognized him as a representative of God. While Mary was a sinner, he was a sinner unpardoned. The rigid rule of justice he had desired to enforce against her condemned him. Do you see that? That's why we have to be careful about not trying to be quick to administer justice to other people and saying, man, we need to take this person out. This person did this. We need to expose that person. Many ministries are based off of that, friends. We need to be careful. It's a site. Some people say, this person did this. Now we need to tell everyone. We need to expose them. Friends, be careful that in undoing someone else, you do not undo yourself. Simon was touched by the kindness of Jesus. Now look at how Jesus dealt with Simon. Even though he rebuked him, it was in mercy. It says Simon was touched by the kindness of Jesus in not openly rebuking him before his guests. He had not been treated as he desired Mary to be treated. Do you see the kindness of Jesus? That's why even in our rebukes, we must learn the science of rebuke, friends. Many people think that when it comes to rebuke, we got to openly expose. We got to come to this person's face and be antagonistic. Friends, there are time for stern rebukes. But as I always tell people, there's only one Matthew 23. Only one time when Jesus, when scoping out the situation, ever came out openly against the scribes and Pharisees and completely destroyed them in front of the people. There was only one Matthew 23. Yet there are many rebukes throughout the Gospels, some tender, some given in parables that the person concerning whom the parable was about, they would understand, but others would not understand even though hearing the parable. Meaning Jesus did not want to expose, but he was trying to draw. Why? Because check this out. It says he had not been treated as he desired Mary to be treated. He saw that Jesus did not wish to expose his guilt to others, but sought by a true statement of the case to convince his mind and by pitying kindness to subdue his heart. Now, check this out. Stern denunciation would have hardened Simon against repentance. This is why we have to learn the science of tender repentance as well as stern. Many people love the stern part. Friends, oh, how we may learn how to win people. It says stern denunciation would have hardened Simon against repentance, but patient admonition convinced him of his error. He saw the magnitude of the debt which he owed his Lord. His pride was humbled. Proud Pharisee became a lowly, self-sacrificing disciple. Now look at this, friends. Listen to this next statement. This is how we realize that the Mary in this story who had the alabaster box and anointed the feet of Jesus is the same as the Mary Magdalene, out of whom seven demons had been cast. And we're going to find out something new here. Mary had been looked upon as a great sinner. That's Mary with the alabaster box, right? But Christ knew the circumstances that had shaped her life. He might have extinguished every spark of hope in her soul, but he did not. Oh, friends, that we may be like that. May we realize that we do not know the circumstances that have caused people to become what they are. And realize that had we known, we would be more merciful. Because we know how our circumstances have shaped us. But now listen to this. It was he who had lifted her from the despair of ruin. How? Now, Luke says seven demons out of her. But I wonder, how many times did this happen? Seven times she had heard his rebuke of the demons that controlled her heart and mind. Do you see that? She had heard his strong cries to the Father in her behalf. She knew how offensive is sin to his unsullied purity, and in his strength, she had overcome. When to human eyes her case appeared hopeless, Christ saw in Mary capabilities for good. He saw the better traits of her character. Oh, that we may see people like that. Oh, that we may know that Jesus sees us like that. Friends, Jesus loves you. Notice, King of Mary, who had anointed Jesus' feet, desirably just points out that it is out of her that the demons were cast. And notice how many times, seven times the situation happened. Jesus had to actually deliver her. But when you read in the book of Luke chapter 8, she's called Mary Magdalene. Do you see why? Some scholars, in looking at this carefully, realize, whoa, it's the same Mary. But in one story, they're trying to protect her identity. In the other, they're showing her testimony. And so we're coming to the realization that, whoa, Mary of Bethany is Mary Magdalene. Mary of Bethany, who anointed the feet of Jesus, is Mary Magdalene, out of whom seven demons were cast in the space of seven times. Friends, that means she fell and Jesus came and delivered her. She fell and Jesus came and delivered her. She fell and Jesus came and delivered her. Seven times this happened until you read in Desire of Ages. Friends, she was totally in seeing the love of Christ to continually deliver her. Friends, her heart was finally sealed on the side of righteousness because she saw the love of Jesus for her. Some of you, you may be experiencing that in your life today. You may think there is no hope for me. I keep failing. God, how can you love a sinner like me? But I came to tell you today that Jesus, like he pursued Mary, he is pursuing you. Like he defended Mary, he is defending you in the courts above. Raise your head up, child of God, and know that the Son loves you and that in him you can have ultimate victory over the demons that seek to bombard your lives. Take heart and do not fear nor give up. Friends, as Jesus did for Mary, he can do for each and every one of us. Desire of Ages states that he continued to pursue Mary until the victory was complete and she was victorious over those demons for the rest of her life. He can do the same with us. Let us pray as we close. Father in heaven, God, that the story made sense. Lord, as we're seeing in Desire of Ages, it is clear that these two Marys are the same Mary. Mary of Bethany, who would have thought, is Mary Magdalene. And Lord, the same powerful work that you wrought, the same powerful, patient, persistent work that you wrought in her life, you can do in ours. Help us to be merciful towards others, learning the science of leading souls to Christ. I pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen, amen. Brothers and sisters, we want to thank Brother Akeem for bringing this word to us so clearly. And Sister Leola was just reading God's love for man and just one part that I read earlier. It was the price paid for our redemption. And other part, John 1, 3, and 1. What a value this place upon man. Through the transgression, the Son of Man became a subject of things. Through faith and the atoning sacrifice of Christ, the Son of Adam, that may become the Son of God. And you know, I read this whole thing here, and just as Brother Akeem was saying, that I look to myself, the sin that I committed to cause this, for Christ to pay my price, I was so appreciative. And then now I look and I think about others. You know, we cannot judge them because we don't know what they're going through. And I say, Lord, help us. And that's what we have. Thank you, Brother Akeem, for this. Akeem brought us some, you know, although we know some things, but it get a little bit more simple for us to see ourselves in the position. So thank you, Brother Akeem, for this. And as my brothers and sisters heard, we go back and do a little read over it. But especially how you brought it that the leopard Simon was how he played the part in judging the lady with the alabaster box. And you know what? We do that all the time. And I used to do it myself and don't know. And I'm checking myself now if I'm still doing that. So praise God. We learned the lesson here tonight. You know, you don't judge. And the Bible tells us don't judge. But sometimes we look at others and we may see something, oh, that person doing something wrong. But you know what? We don't know what's going on there. So thank you, Brother Akeem, and I'm going to let everyone go. So God bless my brothers and sisters as we took this message to heart. And
got a good understanding. So now we're going to let our brothers and sisters go, and may you have a peaceful and a restful night. God bless you. We love you, and we thank you for joining us tonight, and may you have a good night rest, brothers and sisters. And we're going to say good night, and we're going to just close out with this song by God's grace. We're going to close out with Redeem. Have a blessed night. Thank you.
Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy, His child and forever I am.
Redeemed.